Hi, I'm Stephanie Shelton, and this is episode 2 of Conversations on Health, How We Get There. The first way we get there is to make good healthcare available for everyone. And that's just not the case here in the United States. Episode 1 gave you a look into the Czech Republic's healthcare system, and that's relatively similar to most European and Scandinavian systems. Every working adult pays into it, and everyone in the country has a similar level of care. So, now let's look at that care from a personal side. Your side.
I have been paying, or my employer has been paying, or both of us were paying, into the Czech health system for all of the years.
This is Steve Fisher. He's an American writer and well-known satirist who's lived and worked in the Czech Republic for the past 30 years. He's also a friend, and I've literally watched as he recovered from a freak infection which almost killed him. It's really dramatic.
I contracted a lethal strain of streptococcus called Streptococcus pyogenes. I went into cardiac arrest. I was taken to the emergency room where I went into cardiac arrest, and my lungs collapsed and my kidneys failed. And they had to resuscitate me. And then they put me into an induced coma while they tried to figure out, A, what was wrong with me, because they had never seen anything like I had. They'd never had a case like mine before. And they pumped me full of antibiotics in the hope that that might have some effect. And I was in an induced coma for 2 months, fighting for my life. They first thought I had Legionnaire's disease, and then they finally diagnosed it as Streptococcus pyogenes. And I believe they just treated it with antibiotics, with very, very strong antibiotics, which were relatively new antibiotics. If I'd had this disease a few years earlier, I probably would have died. And they, in fact, gave me only, or they didn't give me, they gave my wife at the time, like a 5% chance of survival. And they said that if I survived, that probably my brain functions wouldn't be what they had been. So everybody was pretty much expecting me to be either dead or a vegetable. And then after 2 months, they slowly brought me out of the coma because it was clear that I was going to survive.
And how did you lose portions of your limbs?
I got sepsis as a result of the, you know, blood rushing, trying to save my heart. So I lost blood in the extremities. So they had to amputate both of my legs below the knee, my left hand, and the fingers, most of them, on my right hand.
So how long altogether were you hospitalized? And what, you know, just to kind of characterize the level of care that you got?
I was 2 months in the coma in intensive care. And then I was another month in intensive care awake. And then I was about 5 months in rehabilitation of learning, you know, first just recovering, getting my strength back, and then learning to walk on my prosthetic legs. And that was a very, very long process. And also, when I woke up, my whole body had atrophied. I couldn't lift my arms. And so I had physical therapists who came in every day and were lifting my arms a little higher. And boy, did it hurt. But a little higher every day, you know, pushing up on them, and until I could raise them over my head. And also trying desperately, they were trying to bend this finger back into place. And they tried like hell, but they never succeeded. Hurt like hell trying to do it, but they were so great. They were, you know. But also, I mean, I couldn't speak when I woke up. I'd had a tracheotomy. And so my wife was there with one of these like letter boards tapping on the letters or I was pointing at the letters the best I could to spell out words to be able to communicate. It took me a while to get my voice back.
So how would you characterize, just in sense of characterizing it, not, you know, you don't have anything to compare it to because obviously this had never happened before to you.
Yeah.
But did you come out of this saying, you know, how did you feel?
You mean...
Level of care.
Level of care. I was extremely grateful. I mean, really. I thought that I got great care from the nurses, from the physical therapists. There was one funny thing that there's a law, according to the health system, that a patient who's not in intensive care can only stay in one hospital for 3 weeks. So my poor wife had to find me another hospital. I had to move just by law, by the requirements of the health insurance regulations. I had to move. So I went from one hospital to another. I was there for 3 weeks, and then to another, and then to another. And she had to keep finding another hospital for me to go to. That was really kind of silly. But I thought the care was fine. You know, the food was okay. You know, I mean, it was nothing special, but it was fine. You know, it was edible. I can't say that I was like joyful. I was joyful to be alive. I was a little less joyful when they told me they'd had to amputate, you know, all of my extremities. But I was lucky to be alive. The process of learning to walk on those artificial legs, that's painful when you've had your legs recently cut off.
But did you feel that your level of care at that point and understanding that it was painful and difficult?
Yeah, they took good care of me. They did. And, I mean, I had to pay. There was a copay for being in the hospital. And I think I had to pay about $60 a month. I think it was about $2 a day that I had to pay in addition. You know, and everything else was covered by my health insurance. And I mean, everything was covered by my health insurance. My prosthetic legs, which cost, I think, somewhere around $10,000 to $15,000 a pair, completely covered by the health insurance. I have this robotic arm that I have, and I'm going to move, my microphone will make noise. But this robotic arm that I have, which... does this and is great for, you know, I don't wear it a lot, but it's very useful for like working in the kitchen, for cutting things, holding things, you know.
Have they updated that?
They're making me a new one. This is that will be my fourth one, I think, or my third. And every 5 years, I qualify for a new pair of legs and a new robotic arm. I haven't done that. I've felt so guilty because this cost about $10,000, completely paid for by the health insurance and the legs as well. The legs have improved a little bit. They've had a little more flexibility in the foot, but the first pair was very painful, but these, I can wear them all day. They're designed. I never have to take them off. They're extremely comfortable. And so fabulous, unbelievable. I would have been bankrupted in the United States. I'm pretty sure that by now I would have been bankrupted, you know, by the medical expenses alone. You know, I'm not sure how much they would be covered. Everything would be covered.
Well, it would depend on the level of insurance that you or your company had, right, in the United States.
It would. I mean, I think back to the days when I worked in New York, and I was working for a very small PR agency. And I didn't have health insurance. My boss was like, I can give you $5,000 more a year, or I can give you health insurance. And I was young, and I was like, oh, all right, I'll just take the money. And I had no health insurance at the time, you know?
And what happened to you here was essentially a freak situation.
Very rare. Again,
it could have happened to you at any point in your life.
It could have. I mean, it's what killed Jim Henson, the Muppets creator. Yeah, he had, Streptococcus pyogenes, and he died because he didn't want to go to the hospital. He didn't want to bother anybody. He thought he was just, you know, had like a bad flu, and he died. And if he'd gotten there, maybe he would have lived, you know.
So when you talk about the comparisons, many young people where their insurance isn't paid for, or they'll take the lowest level of insurance that their company offers because it's less money that they have to, you know, copay.
Yeah.
Many young people would say, we don't need insurance, we're healthy. And this could happen at any time.
Sure.
It's or worse.
It's a gamble. Yeah. It's a risk, you know. So...
But you have no choice, right? It's compulsory. You pay... Somebody yes. pays into that system for you, you or your employer.
Correct.
Or
if
the
you're,
government.
If you're a freelancer, you pay it all. If you work for a company, you pay some and your employer pays some, you know.
So you, there is no chance you can get sick in the Czech Republic if you're paying into the system.
And not be covered. I don't think so. Unless you were like somehow entirely off the grid, but I don't know how that would be. But yeah, it's mandatory.
Just in terms of this, if you could, you just said if you had to do this in the U.S., you'd probably be bankrupted from the additional medical costs that insurance
I think so.
Likely wouldn't cover. You know, if you were a CEO, maybe you'd have the highest level of medical.
Sure, if I was the president of the United States, I'm sure that they'd take care of me. You know? Yeah.
But in terms of looking back, and I don't expect, you know, like a dollar figure, but this has been, this process is from how many years now?
Well, 2009, so 13.
And over that period of time, considering what they have paid here for your follow-up care, which includes the prostheses and all, do you have any sense of what you'd have to deal with in the United States?
No. No, because I haven't been in the U.S. for 30 years, so I don't really know how much things cost or how much is covered or not. I mean, altogether, I have no idea how much my hospital care would have cost. My hospital care for, I mean, imagine 9 months, or I guess it was 8 months of hospitalization in the United States. How much would that cost?
Again, you know, it would depend on your level.
3 months of intensive care, you know, and 5 months of rehabilitation. How much? But how much any insurance company would have had to pay? You know, probably $1 million. You know, if not more. So, you know, I mean, here, you know, obviously one of the reasons why it's an more affordable system is because everything is less expensive. Doctors earn less. Nurses earn less. Hospitals earn less. Insurance companies earn less. You know, the pharmaceutical companies, they charge less probably as well, although I don't really know. But that's why, I mean, I don't know, malpractice insurance is probably covered by the state. You know, there's just not as an expensive system. So I can't really say how much it cost here, but I would say at least probably... a couple of $100,000.
If you were disabled in the U.S., and my brother is considered disabled, he has some paralysis from a spinal injury, and he gets a disability payment. I don't know how much relative to what it is here. He gets some medical benefits, like now he's 65, so he's on Medicare. So, what did you get here?
Okay, well, because I had worked in the United States until I was 35, that's when I left and came to the Czech Republic, I still qualified for Social Security disability from the United States. And because I had been working in the Czech Republic already now for then, at that time, about 15 years or 18 years, I qualified for Social Security or Czech social benefits for disability as well. So I applied for both. The Czechs and the Americans, they got together somehow. They worked out a formula by which the Americans would pay a part and the Czechs would pay whatever I was entitled to as well. So altogether, I got in disability from the United States about $1,000 a month. And from the Czechs, I got about $500 a month. In addition to which, I got about, I think, $400 from the checks to support someone to take care of me, you know, because I qualified for the highest level of disability. So altogether, I was getting almost $2,000 a month. And it didn't matter that I was still working, because my employer was great and allowed me to work from home. Thank God for the internet. You know, already I was able to do my work from home. And so I was employed and I was still earning. I was working about part-time. I was still earning a decent wage and getting disability as well.
And was there any problem in the fact that at the time you were married?
No. None at all.
The fact that your wife also earned some money?
No. They didn't calculate in, my income was not a factor. I was qualified for that level of disability and I received that level of disability payment as a result.
So overall, looking back, and this is kind of to conclude everything, if this had to happen to you, would you have rather been living here or in the U.S.?
In any case, I would rather be living here. Ill or sick. I would rather be living here. But, it's a wonderful place.
But, okay, talk in terms of just the situation you were in. Just from what you know of...
It's very hypothetical, because who knows? Maybe if I'd been in the United States, maybe they could have prevented me from having to have my limbs amputated. Maybe they have some miraculous, you know, care that they didn't have here. I don't know. I don't think so. But I think, based on everything, you know, I think here is miles better, certainly in the social care, because in addition to the disability money that I got, I also got, and still continue to have, free transportation on public transit. This is even before I was a senior citizen, which all senior citizens have as well. But I had free public transit, free transportation for a person accompanying me. I had discounted fares on railroads, and free transit for the person accompanying me on buses and trains. I have free admission to museums and galleries and discounted admissions to the cinema and free tickets for people who accompany the person accompanying me to the cinema or to the theater. I mean, amazing, you know, social support. You know, I qualified for meals to be delivered to my home every day, a lunch for a very low amount. You know, and this is all provided by the government. These are all services operated either by the federal government or by the local government. All of these things. So I think by any standard, I'm better off.
That's Steve Fisher, an American writer living happily in the Czech Republic and grateful that after paying into the Czech health system for all the years that he was working, as all working people must do, it was really there for him in every way when he needed it, and still is there, even now when he's retired. There's no way, of course, to make any direct comparisons to the U.S. Disabled people here with limited resources do get some financial benefits and some food aid. But unlike the Czech Republic, there's no gold standard of care for the disabled. And at least 8% of Americans don't have any coverage whatsoever of any kind. The rest of us have coverage which varies depending on state or federal subsidies for the poor or how much private medical insurance we or our employer can buy for us and how much that insurance pays toward the kind of drugs, the expensive drugs that Steve had to take for long periods, and which in general aren't nearly as expensive in other countries as they are in our country. But that's a subject for another podcast, and we will have it. So now that you have a sense of what it's like to live in another country and get very, very sick, let's start looking at the mishmash of systems and coverage and non-coverage in the U.S. It's really complicated, and I'm going to try to break it down into small digestible bites. So in the next episode, you'll get an overview of our healthcare systems and how they do or don't serve us. And no, we're not going to look at the COVID-19 pandemic first, because in all fairness, no health system was prepared for COVID-19 in any country, and it overwhelmed them all. I'm aiming for one new podcast a month, so look for episode 3 in mid-November. And please do subscribe to the podcast. We're on Apple, on Google, on TuneIn, on the Podbeam app, on YouTube for the video version, and beyond. Conversations on Health, How We Get There is produced and edited by Frank Harold. Research assistance from Dr. Richard Saltman, Professor Emeritus of Health Policy and Management, Rollins School of Public Health at Emory University in Atlanta. I'm Stephanie Shelton, and until I see you again, please do take care of yourself and those you love.